Perhaps I can see better on the screen. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. This comes from Philippians 4. You'll know all that, of course. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Didn't you feel the Lord near in the worship?
Yes.
Where's the Tracy? Add another line to that one. Jesus is Lord. You know, that lovely one. I'd love to sing it to you, but it would sound like Jesus is Lord. You know the one? Yes. If I sang it to you, you'd think I was singing a Christmas carol. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I won't read that bit, because it's the bit I've read that I want to talk about. Now, can we go back to verse, do not be anxious? Okay, that's what I want to talk about. I thought I was pretty foolish, just feeling the Spirit wanted me to preach on this, because I'm thinking, oh my giddy aunt, can you imagine what's been happening to me? I've had to sell the house. I've never sold a house before. I've never bought a house before, only as a sitting tenant, when Mrs. Thatcher was selling off council houses, and I bought the council house I was living in, and I've lived in it for 55 years. But selling it, I thought I need to sell it before Brexit. I must get rid of it. You don't know what, it may be good, we don't know. Just don't believe what people say about Brexit. We've got no idea yet what's happening, and put your trust in God and not in. In the end, I'm fed up listening to this stuff. And I think these people are talking as if they're totally right. They could well be totally wrong. Anyway, do not be anxious about anything. And then I've got to get rid of the stuff for the house, because I'm not downsizing. I'm moving in with Barbara in a small bungalow. Then we've got to sell that and move into a bigger place, so on. Because she thought she'd just moved back to Pembrokeshire last Easter. She thought that was her last move. And then I come charging in, and it isn't her last move. But, you know, I always ask questions of the Bible. Why did God inspire Paul to write that? Do not be anxious. Well, you know why, don't you? Because there is something in us that becomes anxious. And honestly, in my ministry in Bracknell, people actually said to me, I remember a woman saying to me, I can't help being anxious because my mother's always anxious type. And men say, I'm a worrier, my father was a worrier. And I think this is why God tells you not to be anxious, because there is a propensity within us. And if it's not within you, the devil will get you to be anxious. Because anxiety actually is not a kingdom of God thing. Now, listen, don't like write yourself off. Think, oh, well, I'm an anxious type. All I'm saying, if God says do not be anxious, it's the very thing that you will need. And God doesn't like play games with us and drop things just out of our reach. You know, don't be anxious, but I can't help being anxious, and I can't reach him, so I'm always going to end up being anxious, and Ben Davis comes along and he makes me feel even worse. No, just don't be anxious. And if God says it, you're capable of changing gear. So I've been anxious, and I'm thinking, who can help me to pack up? I'm not a youngster, and I've got my son, but he's got 4 kids, and he's busy. And he doesn't communicate, and then he says, in the end, he said, well, I'll give you all the Saturdays after Christmas. Well, I want to get it done before Christmas. because I'm that sort of type. You say, I want tomorrow to be yesterday. That's me. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't have preached to you as if this is a theoretical, theological series of statements. Preaching is relational. Preaching is one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread, right? And one anxious fella telling another anxious fella, hey, I think we have the answer to anxiety. And what is it? Well, God says don't be anxious. And if he says don't be anxious, don't be anxious. You know, anxiety is so counterproductive. In fact, you want like this. Anxiety is a form of self-centeredness. What about me? Doesn't anybody care for me? Look how much I've got to do. And God says, don't be anxious. And, you know, I say to God, God, there are times in life you need to understand me. You know, I've been going through this in my mind. So the Spirit says, there are times in life you need to understand us. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Please, God, understand me. No, Ben, for goodness sake, learn to understand me. So don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. You say, there are many, you know, you can carry weights and pressures, but there are always things in your life that just are difficult to carry. And God dumps another dollop. Don't be anxious about anything. So exciting, isn't it? Because when God means anything, says anything, he means anything. So just don't be anxious about anything. Yes, but there are little, you know, we have little areas in our lives we don't like people to know about. They're little sinful areas. But they're little areas that we try to smile at people, like, hey, good morning, God bless you. But you're carrying something that really worries you. God comes in because he sees anything, everything about us and says, just don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition. Now listen, you've got a choice today. You're listening to this here. You're not thinking, heavens, he's getting married again in his old age. I'm 79. By the way, the girl I'm marrying, somebody asked me, is she 26?
And you said?
I said, I don't even think my pacemaker would cope with that. It's very, very funny. No, I said, chance would be a fine thing. And then I repented of it straight away. How do I get on to this one? Yes, thank you, choice. Now listen, folks, you have a choice. When you read the Word of God, you have a choice. And I tell you what the choice is. The choice is you can either choose to live in the flesh or you can choose to live impelled by the Spirit. Right? Here's the flesh. I've got to be anxious. Nobody will be anxious for me. Nobody understands me. You know, my parents are gone and, you know, my mother, she always understood me and she could cope with me. And my boss at work is terrible and the elders are terrible and, you know, I'm living in the wrong street and the kids are not, they're not doing the right things with academics. And listen, if you live my life, of course you'd be anxious. True? And I haven't got enough money anyway. I've never had enough money. And the bloke I'm married, he just doesn't earn enough. I know what blokes think. The woman I'm married, she never understands me. She's unpredictable, cause. Sometimes women are unpredictable, aren't they?
Always.
Listen, you can choose to live by the flesh. Let's have a look at the text that's coming up now, please. Move up. Hold on. Let's have a look at it. Let me give you a guideline on this. Galatians 6, 7 to 8. Please. Ah, yes. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. See, so if we choose to live after the flesh, then we live with our fingers pressing the self-destruction button. You see, the one who sows to please to his sinful nature, which is worry, is our sinful nature. From that nature will reap destruction. I've got to be anxious. I've got to worry. Well, actually, sunshine, you are destroying yourself. We have a choice. We have a choice because God is in us. We have a choice because Jesus has saved us. We have a choice because the Holy Spirit enables us. We have a choice because we are partakers of the divine nature. We have a choice because we have new life in us. I pity the poor beggars who don't believe in God, who've never met God, who've not encountered God. They have virtually no choice. They're going to go along their own dwindling sweet way. I'm not against them. I'm just saying we have a choice. God has done something. But you can choose to live according to the flesh. Even though you're born again, even though you're baptized in Spirit, even though you pray well, even though you're being filled with the Spirit every day, you still have a choice. Am I going to be anxious or am I going to live in the power of the Holy Spirit? Because he who is within us is greater than he who is within, who is in the world. And I'm not talking about something that goes on a two-hour service. I am talking to you and to myself about our daily lifestyle. That's what I'm talking about. Because living with God is about daily affairs in a relationship, either with the flesh or with the Spirit. Let me give you another one, please. Romans 8, 5 to 8. Those who live according to the sinful nature have the mind set on what that nature desires. Now, I'm saying we have a choice. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. Listen, let's face it. When we choose to live after the flesh, we are actually taking on God. We are hostile to God. This just simply doesn't describe unbelievers. This describes the sinful mind. Listen, we can think wrongly. We can react wrongly. Don't I know it? Because I'm like it. And I think, oh, thank you for your word, oh God. The sinful mind is hostile to God. God, I don't want to be hostile. Well, don't be anxious then, Benjamin. Well, it's me. No, you're now being hostile to me. Because I'm just telling you, Benjamin, you were born again and the power of the Spirit is within you. It does not submit to God's word, law, nor can it do so. So you think, well, listen, I'm anxious. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're not submitting to God's law. It's terrible, isn't it, to say that? You think, if you only knew my life, if you only knew what I felt like when I got out of bed this morning. Yes? Because you can get out of bed and think the world is totally horrible. And it might be for you at that moment in time. But listen to this. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Is anything else coming up there? Nope. Let's have the next text, please. Don't worry about the delay. But, yes, this is about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. You see, our choices produce fruit. What do you mean by that? Well, it produces fruit within us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Let me just say about this. You read the word, don't be anxious. Let's take, God has just put this in my mind. Let's say you're in debt, financial debt. I tell you, it does cause anxiety because financial debt doesn't go away. It's going to be paid off. You say, God. Well, say, God, help me. But you know, when we move in the Spirit, we will deal with these things in our lives. I tell you, you know it's not theoretical. You're going to know it in experience. And when I read the fruits of the Spirit, and there's no anxiety in the fruits of the Spirit. I'll tell you, when I read the fruits of the Spirit, there's one word that really makes me feel bad. Could you guess what it is? Yes, who said that? Jenny? You can read me. You said patience.
Yes, well, you already said you wanted to start packing up.
That's true. And but I always feel guilty when I read that. Hear this now. I always feel guilty when I read it. And I felt the Spirit has said me lately, but listen, patience is a fruit that I produce as the Spirit. But the fruits of the Spirit, and I'm there's me trying to be patient and not to worry and not think about the future. And I'm leaving all my friends in England. You can say, well, that was your choice. Yes, I know, that makes me feel bad. And then I think, the Spirit of God will produce patience in me. You say, well, I can't help worrying. Listen, please know this. The Spirit of God will produce patience in you. The Spirit of God will produce peace in you. And let me show you something else on verse 23. Gentleness and self-control, against such there is no law. Nothing can stop you knowing the fruits of the Spirit. Nothing. Because why? Because there's no law against it. God's law isn't against it. Other people's law isn't against it. What people say to you isn't against it. Nothing can stop us. So then why do I get anxious? Well, because we just need to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And it's not a theoretical, theological statement. It is sheer reality. And it's not, listen, I must gird myself. It's not about temperament. It's not about personality. Well, you know, I come from this country and I'm black and I think this way. And no, I come from this country and I'm white and I think this way. It's got nothing to do with that. There is, against such, there is no law. I think, oh God, it is so wonderful that you can breathe into me. Have no anxiety about anything. Listen, it's not self-help because it's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it's not, I must go to conferences and really get a hang of who I really am. I must know my identity. I need to fulfill something in my life, because you hear a lot of preachers preaching this stuff and it's wrong. It's not, you know, I must fulfill my destiny. Let God fulfill his destiny in you. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit, who loves you, just touch your life and move and think by the Spirit. Against such, there's nothing against me. So have no anxiety. Folks, when you're tempted, have no anxiety. Why not? Because you can choose to live after the Spirit and kick into touch the old habit that belongs to your past, living after the flesh. Don't you find that incredible? You think, this is so of God. But let's go on a bit further. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, oh yes, by prayer and petition. Now, prayer is a word that's used generally. Petition is someone praying with a sense of need. Let me say this. I hate church prayer meetings. I go to church prayer meetings. They drive me mad. Sorry. I know your pastors say, come to the prayer meeting. Don't go. Just don't go. They're terrible things. Don't listen. Don't let your... No, perhaps not here. I've heard prayer meetings here. Now listen, just be patient a minute now. Just be patient. Listen. You see, often people moon around MWN at prayer meetings, and we're talking about, don't be anxious. We're talking about, but in everything, prayer and petition. And I listen to people praying, and they're mooning, and they're saying, you know, they said, oh, God, cattle on 1,000 hills, and, you know, you've got all the money in the world, and God, you made heaven and earth. And these people who are praying it, they're in need. They need to move into petition, and they need to be straight with God. And I'm wanting to stand up and say, for God's sake and yours, ask God for something. Yeah, we know, God, you are mighty. You made the earth. You created the heavens. You said, let there be light. And there was light, God. But you've got darkness in your life. So say, God, will you shine light into my darkness? Amen. Just ask God. God, I am in serious need. You're going to be careful what you say in public. But let me tell you something about money here. God, we need money. We would like to open this free of debt. Please, will you do it for us? Amen. As an example. Amen. Right? Or you might say, and you may not want to say this in public, but in private we moon about to pray. God, I've got a most horrible boss. God, will you change him? Amen. You better be humble. And will you change me into the bargain? I prayed once with an elder about a guy in our church who drove us mad. Ever had those sort of people? We'll call him Freddie. I said this, God, will you change Freddie or take him? Because I can't cope with him. I did, honestly. And then I stopped and I said, God, I don't want you to take me. Will you change me? That was on a Friday. On a Sunday, the following Sunday, 2 days later, at 6:30, this guy's, Freddie's wife phoned me. She was already a widow. Shocking, isn't it? And she said, Freddie died this morning. I thought that was amazing. Except that I'd forgotten my prayer. So I called this elder up about 8:00. I said, hey, Ken, have a guess. Freddie's died. And he said, well, you know what you prayed? I said, what? Well, you said, Lord, take him or change him. Do you know what I tell you? Prayer and petition. I'm not asking you just to pray. Listen to this. The girl I'm marrying has got a dog. I'm not into dogs. So I pray. I do love dogs. My daughter's got a dog. But I thought, and when I heard the dog was 13 years old, and they tell me, so I just said, Lord, take him to glory. So the case is, watch this space. I love dogs, but not my future wife's dog. Anyway, but listen, what I said, listen, petition God. But petition God and use the words that you need to use the words. God, I am struggling with my children. Because I hear people saying, well, you know, my son and daughter, they don't go to church, you know, but they're good people and they believe in God. Listen. It may be a bit deeper than that. And I tell you what I do, and I still do it with my kids. I pray this. I name my kids. I say, God, grip them. Go deeper with them. Do you know why? I see that they have a need to go deeper. But I see that I have a need to go deeper myself. So I say, God, please help me. Please cause me to forgive people, because I've got a memory. If people have said something to me, I carry it. I mean, something negative. I carry it for years. I find, this is gospel truth, I find the other day I'm driving the car and I'm talking out loud in an argument with my father who's been dead since 1972. Do you understand that? And I'm really arguing a point with him. until I said, Father, I forgive you in Jesus' name. Amen. You might think that's crackers, but I don't think you do. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So, you know, when it comes to the pressure, pray in the words that you use when you're mad about it on your own and ask God, God, please change my boss. He's a pig to me. God, but change me. I know you're doing something in me as well. Well, please, God, will you solve it and name it? That's all I'm saying. Amen. And what drives me mad in public prayer meetings is that people are mooning about. I think, oh, please be real and say it. And if you can't say it in public, stay at home and say it in private. Seriously. I'm driven by a passion to see people change and not become a clever clogs. It's because God has put it in me. Everything, prayer and petition. Now, what about this with thanksgiving? You say, well, I'm anxious. Well, thank God. My daughter this morning, said the funniest thing going. I hope she never listens to this, but I just wanted to hear it. My daughter, my younger daughter who lives in Catford, she signs for the deaf in a comprehensive school around here somewhere. So she knows that some people, the vast majority of people can hear, and there are people who can't. I feel proud of her, that she's committed herself to doing this. Well, this morning, her husband, who's a lovely guy, except he's English, he opens a letter. Have you heard people when they open letters? Some do it quite, you know, they put slit it with a knife. And others, they slit it so loud, you can't think. And when he did it, and there was this terrific noise, and I heard Rebecca say, there are some people in life who, even when they open letters, are so loud. So I said, I thought you were signed for the deaf, Rebecca. She said, I do, Dad. Well, I said, thank God that you can hear then. Well, it's true, isn't it? Isn't it? Every time someone makes an infernal noise, think, oh, God, thank you for my hearing. Amen. It won't be long before the dawn chorus. I can begin to hear it now. Birds singing very early in the morning, and people, and as the weather's a bit better, people leave their bedroom windows open, and people start saying, oh, those wretched birds woke me up this morning. So I'm now taunting people. I'm saying, well, thank God that you can hear, because there's plenty of people who would love to hear the birds. I've got a terrible bad hip today. Well, thank God. How old are you, sir? I'm 77, and I've got this bad hip on the NHS. They don't do anything about it. Well, I said, can I tell you something? I know some people who went to their graves when they were 25. Thank God you're still alive. Amen. Well, I haven't got enough money, and I'm on benefits. Well, let me tell you something. There was a time in our country when there were no benefits handed out to anybody. Thank God we're living in an age with all the problems in our society, and there are many, but thank God. Right, thank you. Thank God that, you know, we live in a world where so much is on our plate. You see, where are we? Prayer and petition with thanksgiving. You say, well, I go to a church, you know, and I've heard people say, it's not a good church. Well, thank God you've got a good church to go to or not a good church to go to. I've just read in the paper that, was it in Indonesia? A church was bombed, Christians killed. What do you think? Well, let's thank God. Thank God that we've still got freedom, though it's diminishing. We've still got freedom to worship God. Actually, we have a choice. We can think, I'm fed up with this church. I'll go 3 miles down the road and go to the church that will really suit my needs. You know it's not going to, but you think that. Thank God that you can read. Thank God you can hear. Thank God you can see. Thank God you've got people who tell you the truth. I don't like that person. He's too blunt to me. Thank God for blunt people. Because half the time, Can you imagine going to the doctor? I'll never forget. I've got a history. I'm getting married, but I've got a history. I was married to a woman for 53 years. I remember the day she went to get a diagnosis, and she came back to me, Mo, and she said, it was a Wednesday, and I was just about to preach in the midweek meeting. I said, what's happened? She said, I've got cancer of the blood. Now you think, what a horrible man for telling you that. Thank God for people who tell you the truth. Thank God for people who say, and this is the treatment, and you may have 5-10 years to live. We need to thank God. I'm not here to boost up the NHS, but thank God for them. The men and the women, from the cleaners to the alleged top people who are consultants. Thank God. And don't treat people terribly as if they're rubbish. You better thank God for people. I'll tell you what I do every Christmas. I'm a great believer in tipping people well. And I love talking to the bin lorry men. And I say to them this Christmas, how many on the wagon? How many on your crew? And they say, and I give them 10 quid each. They look at me as, I think, thank you very much. Because if they didn't come around, the rats would be jumping 10 foot high in my road. Right? Thank God. So, don't be anxious. Everything, prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests made known to God. Now listen, I'm going to stop at this point. The thing that has always bugged me, one of the many things that have always bugged me, this Mr. Patient. Read it. Present your request to God. Now, we believe in the priesthood of all believers, don't we? You know what I'm talking about? You're born again, you are a priest. We have a terrible culture. I know the culture here is Pastor Gideon, Pastor Irene, Pastor, and Pastor Ben. Listen, you're all pastors. I'm not being radical in this. I'm not being subversive. If one's a pastor, you're all pastor. Different gifts, different functions. Some are leaders, some are led, but you're all pastors. You all have a direct route to God because Jesus has made intimacy with God a probability every day of our lives. Correct? But you know what happens? People come to me and say, Ben, or the religious say, Reverend Ben. Depends what culture you're in. Will you pray for me? I used to feel really, I feel important. Do you know what I say to them now? No. No, I'm not praying for you. Because I've prayed for you for about 10 years. You haven't changed. That is true. So why are you coming back to me to pray for you when for 10 years you haven't changed? I have no power, obviously. Pray for yourself, darling. Why? Present your requests to God. Don't go to somebody else. What makes you think that your neighbor, man or woman, is able to answer your prayers? Pray to God. You know, the pastor doesn't meet my needs. He's not capable of meeting his own needs. Correct or not? So, present your request to God. Well, I'm anxious. Well, I tell you what I did think in my anxiety. If you tell my children this, I'll find out where you live and I'll come and shoot you. Right? Listen, did I have a little thought? I've got 3 kids and they're not helping me. And I've always helped them. And whenever they have a need, they ask me. I'm thinking this. I'm not that nasty, but these thoughts go fleetingly through my mind. If you grab them and say, live with me, it'll be terrible for you. But I see them floating like a little cloud in the sky, and you have a little look up and you think, yeah, they could have helped me. And then God says, just talk to me instead. You know? That's all. I want to finish where I began, and it's this. Hold on, I could say a bit more, but I'm not. I want to finish by saying this. Thank you for loving me. Because that's the important thing for me. I don't want you to say, hey, I think you're a great preacher. Or I certainly don't want you to say you're the worst preacher you've ever darkened these doors, because I wouldn't believe you anyway. But I do need you to love me. Do you realize that? Because we need to love and we need to be loved. And I would say, you have loved me. And I've been abusive to you sometimes. I've stirred you up. I've wanted a really, whatever. But you have loved me, and I'm so grateful. And I'm going to say this, not because it's the right thing to say, but I'm going to speak it prophetically. One day this place will be full. And one day you will see the most amazing flow of money. Bigger than you've ever dreamt about. And one day you will be so overflowing yourselves with the Spirit of God that you think, I didn't think there could be any more of this, God. One day your joy will be amazing. I'm talking about your personal joy. Not your family for a minute. I'm talking about you. You, the ones who are here. One day, you will know God in a way you thought, I never thought that was possible. It's not because you're a bad, mean so-and-so. It's that there is more to God than we realize. And there's more coming your way. I want to say that prophetically to you. One day, you think, well, can't it be today? God, can you bring it today? Can you do something quicker than what we're anticipating? That's my prayer. And I'll see you the day, God willing, when you reopen the building. I will have been married 2 weeks by then. I hope I'll still have a smile on my face. There we are. God bless you.